This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Their experience in sports varies.
Of course, Vinny's got experience in the NFL, and I sucked at electric football.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
We talk amongst each other a lot, especially in practice. Say if we had a missed assignment, no chemistry on a certain route, we talk about it right after. We go look at the film, look at the iPad, and, you know, I tell him where I'm going to put the ball if I see this coverage or how this DB might play. Keep on the ball, you know, starting in practice, building our chemistry there. Like you said, I was telling you guys, like, he's fast, you know, he got great hands, good route runner. That's what you need in a receiver, and not just him, but all my guys.
Probably the biggest challenge is the fact that he does so many things so well. I mean, he's a big, strong quarterback. He's on time and rhythm. He can hold the ball and get the ball downfield. He can throw it to every part of the field, obviously. He's a tough tackle, you know, even just moving in the pocket, then throwing, and then getting out and running. You know, Ronnie's not going to want to go out there, and we're not going to want him to go out there if feels like he's going to be good. You know, he's going to be ready to go. At the same time, he's going to have to jump in at some point, you know, so could be this week. We'll just have to see. He's practiced quite a bit today.
John Harbaugh, Ravens head coach, yesterday afternoon meeting with the media. Midweek, as the Ravens get ready for the Buffalo Bills, very impressive week four matchup on the NFL schedule. Two teams, 2-1, both teams lost to the Miami Dolphins. So there you go. Dolphins play tonight. We'll definitely get into them as the show rolls on. But we'll start there, and that's John Harbaugh, Vinny, talking about Ronnie Stanley. He practiced fully yesterday. We know the woes that the Ravens have at left tackle with McCary going down, Juwan James out for the year. Stanley is the guy, but he's been slow to get back into the lineup. Daniel Falele, after a slow start, gets settled down with help against New England this past Sunday. So Ravens don't want him in. I'm paraphrasing John, of course. If he's not 100%, Ronnie doesn't want to play. He's not 100%. But he's got to be watching these guys dropping by the wayside and understanding that, all right, 90% of you is the best we can throw out there right now.
And the biggest thing, Bob, is this is the best defense that they're going to see. This is the best pass rushing group that, you know, Rousseau and Von Miller are really good. And Boogie Basham in there, too. You know, so it's... If Falele's out there, he's overmatched. And then the thing with Giro is he's going to have to put somebody there every pass play. He's got to, because they'll be around Falele before you can say boo, you know. And Moses is going to have his hands full. The ball's going to have to come out quick. I mean, they got after Miami's ass, you know, and they're good. I mean, that's why they're ranked number one on defense. I mean, you know, this is the best defense that they're going to face, you know, coming at them this weekend. So they're going to have a ton of challenges. And with Ronnie, if Ronnie's 100%, he's going to be challenged. The biggest thing with Ronnie is if he's 90%, 100%, Bob, he hadn't played a live game, full speed game, I guess the Raider game last year, but he wasn't at.
No.
He was probably at 60%.
That's
maybe
a game he'd like to forget. I'm
and the assuming. Preseason game before that. You know, so Ronnie hadn't played like a game where he feels like Ronnie.
Almost 2 years. Right. He got hurt in the Steelers game in October of 2020 at M&T Bank right after he signed his contract extension.
Yep. You know, so, I mean, Bob, to jump in there, you know, and then have that speed and stuff coming at him, that intensity coming at him, you know, that's going to be a hell of a challenge. And I would give him help, too.
You think he might be intimidated by the prospects, or he's just so hell-bent on being 100%? Or he's waiting for a softer touch?
I know, but Trey Hendrickson next week is not a soft touch.
No,
either.
He had a couple sacks last week.
You know, so you might as well. I mean, if you're ready, jump in. I mean, let me just say this, Bob. Watching the videos that we've gotten clips of from Jonah Schaefer and those guys, you know, that his video is 100 times better than Dobbins' video. And Dobbins is playing now.
Yes, he is.
So, you know, and come on. If I'm Ronnie, say, Harbs, listen, I'm 90%, I'm 85%. You know, I'll play. Give me some help. You know, G-Row, give me a little help. You know, at least in the first quarter. Give me some help in the first quarter. Let me get a feel for the game. And then, hey, I got to play. You know, we got to, you know, you need me.
Now, we also heard John Harbaugh talking about Josh Allen. No denying, one of the top quarterbacks in the National Football League. Got a 109.8 quarterback rating here in 2022. Oh, Lamar Jackson was named as the Offensive Player of the Month for the AFC.
And rightfully so.
And rightfully so. But Josh Allen's a guy that certainly could pat on his chest a little bit. And we heard John Harbaugh talking about what makes him so difficult. Premier pass, completing over 70% of his passes. He's the second best running quarterback in the NFL behind Lamar Jackson. And he has made leaps. He's leaps and bounds ahead of where he was percentage-wise, confidence-wise, when he came into the league as, what, the sixth pick in the draft back in 2018.
Yeah. I mean, he's a big, physical, can run, can avoid, kind of like Big Ben in the pocket, but much more mobile. You know, he's got a big gun, you know, and he's hard to bring down. And he can avoid. You know, he can buy time in a pocket. I mean, Bob, to me, Sunday's game, it's two leading candidates, you know, throwing Mahomes. The three leading candidates for the MVP. Those are the three. My mind.
And so far.
Yeah.
Jalen Hurts is he's right there.
He's
too. Sticking around.
Yeah. You know, he's kind of like the Josh Allen was up for it last year. Mahomes was up for it last year. Lamar and Hurts are kind of like the flavor of the month.
Well, Lamar was in it for about 8 weeks last year, doing his thing. But the point is, you got two premier quarterbacks going up against each other in the same draft class and doing some pretty impressive things. You know, they both go to the playoffs. They have met once in the postseason. That game was won by the Bills, as we recall. But also heard from Lamar Jackson talking about wide receivers and building some trust. And it looked like he was concentrating on Devin Duvernay and what he has brought to the equation here in his third year. 8 catches, caught all 8 targets, 3 of the 8 are for touchdowns. We know he's one of the best return. He was a Pro Bowler last year as a return man. So Devin Duvernay now becoming more of a viable pass option. But Vinny, as you pointed out, he's also been kind of running some formations out of the backfield, too.
Yep. He's run some plays out of the backfield, you know, kind of like Deebo Samuel and Cordarrelle Patterson and stuff. And, you know, he's good at that. I mean, look at his punt returns and kick returns. He's got a strong lower body. He did it at Texas. He lined up in a backfield at Texas. The only thing I wish they would do is give him some more plays. Give him some plays up inside. You know, don't just have him run jet sweeps and run wide plays. You know, just give him some chance up inside because he'll break some tackles. He'll make some plays up inside. And I'm not so sure the one, you know, where he did run wide, you know, he got a yard or whatever, you know, if it wouldn't have been better had he cut back inside.
So the Ravens taking on the Bills. Buffalo 3-point favorites in this game. 1 o'clock, M&T Bank Stadium. Weather's expected to be rainy. How does that affect things? We got 2 more days to talk about it, and we will. If you want to join us on this Total Request Thursday, you can at 410-583-1057. Orioles lose last night 3-1 to Rich Hill and the Boston Red Sox. And look, we talked about it during Baltimore Baseball Tonight, me and Bill Ripken, and we're obviously going to talk about it now. I wish I could cuss because I'd be throwing out some four-letter words. The lineup was unacceptable.
100%.
And we were talking with Rob Long, of course, during the transition, I guess Gunnar's got these certain at-bat quotas he can't reach to make him ineligible for the Rookie of the Year next year. But I don't care.
What did Bill say?
He was very much against what happened last night.
Well, he doesn't like Mullins on the bench.
No, because Cedric Mullins at the top of your lineup makes you a better team.
Yes.
I don't care if it's Rich Hill, Benny Hill, Anita Hill. It doesn't matter. He needs to be at the top of the lineup. And he's been kind of hot lately. He had a hitting streak going on. His only hit the other night was against the lefty that drove in a run. Gunnar Henderson, Adley Rutschman, they're young, strapping guys. They don't need rest. When you're in the final eight games of the season and you're 4.5 out, now you're 5.5 out, basically, you go with your best players. You improvise, adapt, and figure out ways to win. And if you look at what happened with Rich Hill going up against that lineup, and I know Rutschman and Henderson pinch hit later, and D. Kramer, to his credit, kept him in the game.
Yeah.
A couple of pesky pullers did him in down the right field line, home runs. But you go out there with your best lineup, and you hope. Even Rougned Odor has been kind of raking a little bit as of late. So I didn't get it. Was it analytically driven? There's no time for that nonsense right now. You ride and die with your best players at this point in the season.
It's kind of like, what did Harb say about the running backs? Need to go with the hot guy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that nothing about analytics there or the hot guy. Like you said, Bob, you got eight games left, you know, and you got all these young guys. You know what? You got about, what, 3 months to rest? If we lose these games, you got plenty of time
to
rest.
There's no time to be bleeping around with this nonsense. No. Well, the Orioles back at it today.
Had me running hot last night.
Yeah, when I saw the lineup, I was like, this has got to be a misprint.
Right.
This is not real.
Yeah.
It didn't do anything. Hey, Robinson Chirinos hit a home run. Super
did
terrific.
Did Hyder explain it after or anything?
I didn't. I was so frustrated. I did not listen to Brandon Hyde, but it doesn't look like he addressed it, at least based on what we have. Right, Norm?
Yeah, it was very brief. Seemed a little, he was running hot.
Yeah.
I mean, as you would imagine.
I would be too if I put that crap lineup on it. All my best players are sitting next to me.
Yeah, exactly. They're all staring at the Fenway.
Like, what the hell are you doing?
There's the green monster over there.
Right.
Yeah, you get to watch that before the game. So the Orioles lose 3-1. Now they're trying to salvage a split this afternoon. And we'll give you the lineup. And it's actually a respectable one later on in the program. But if you want to get in, you can. 410-583-1057. Bottom line, however, as I look at, bigger picture stuff, Orioles are 2 wins away from 82. And that will guarantee them a winning record for the first time in 6 years. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is something we should respect and be happy with, because most people thought they were going to be the worst team in baseball. And they are far from that.
But I'd say, Hyder, do you kind of believe in the win philosophy? What's that? What's important now?
Correct. It's Vinny at 81.057. The Fan. You want to get in, you can. You got Vinny's film breakdown of the Buffalo Bills coming up bottom of the hour. And as Vinny hinted earlier, and if you've been paying attention, Bills are pretty good. And they might be getting some guys back on defense, too, which did not bode well for Lamar and Giro. Damon Evans, Maryland Athletic Director, joins us 11 o'clock. Terps hosting Michigan State. Point spread's actually going up a point and a half since we last spoke. Well, I was last here on Tuesday. And Damon's got other things he wants to talk about relating to Maryland athletics. We're chock full of sports talk fun. Be part of that fun here on The Fan.
Work sucks. They don't. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
I mean, trying to win the Super Bowl. So it was good to be stacking my days, my weeks. You know, trying to get myself back to where I usually would see myself at, man. But that feels good to be out there with my teammates playing fast, celebrating a win.
Marcus Peters back after missing all of last season with a pretty significant knee injury, obviously. You know, he's been 2 games in.
Yeah.
Miami game, okay. Got a little roasted. Last week, secured the fumble after Kyle Hamilton hit Aguilar, and a brilliant play at that. Marcus Peters, what does he do? He makes plays. I mean, he's a guy that forces turnovers and contributes to the cause. But as we just heard, Vinny's still trying to get back to, like, full-on Marcus Peters all-pro speed. And we'll get in. Well, you did the Ravens film yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how close is he to being that guy?
Yeah, I think he's He's getting back. He ran the go route with the one guy and defended it, you know, down the sidelines. You know, he looks more comfortable than he did last week. But, I mean, Bob, what he had to play against last week is kind of what Ronnie Stanley would have to play this week. You know, last week was Waddle and Hill.
Right.
You know, and this week for Ronnie in a similar situation is Von Miller and, you know, Rousseau. So that's kind of like going to, you know, Peter's going against those guys. It's kind of like Ronnie going against these guys. So, you know, for Peters, I think he's going to get nothing but better and better. You know, and it, getting two turnovers, you know, that's going to help his confidence and stuff too. Yeah. You know, making at, two big plays.
And looking at a stat line, and the Ravens are much better at this than they were last year, obviously, but forcing turnovers, he's played two games. He has a pick, forced fumble, and a fumble recovery.
Yeah.
In two games?
Well, and the thing about it, Bob, is like New England, I mean, they tempted to go at him deep a couple of times, and he did good job on both. But otherwise, New England, their game plan, they had a game plan in mind. They were going after Armour, Davis, or Stevens, whoever that guy was out there. That's who they were attacking, you know, because both guys, you know, Humphrey had a pick, Peters had a pick. You know, you go after these guys? No. You know, if I can go after, you know, prefer not to go after Peters or Humphrey, but they've got Armour, Davis, or they got Stevens, or even Pepe Williams. I'm going after them.
So we'll see how this all unfolds coming up at 1 o'clock Sunday, M&T Bank Stadium. Ravens are 3-point underdogs in this ballgame. Now, before we get out to the phones, here's the Orioles lineup today, trying to salvage a split in a series where they needed to at least win 3 out of 4, if not sweep. Keep in mind, everybody, however, the Red Sox try, but based on the Orioles lineup last night, I think it's fair to wonder if they were trying. And this is with all due respect to McKenna and Chirinos, who did go yard, and others who got opportunities to play. All right, anyway. Cedric Mullins leading off in center field. Nathan Eovaldi throws up 1,000 miles an hour, but he's been hurt coming off the IL. Rutschman behind the plate, batting second. Santander, who's been on fire except for last night, batting third, the DH. Mountcastle cleaning up first. Gunner, back at third, batting fifth. Austin Hayes, right field. Ruggie, second base. Kyle Stowers, left field. Jorge Mateo, batting ninth through shortstop. That should have been the lineup last night.
Amen.
You know, I'm not the manager of the team, obviously. And I get analytics and I respect them to a certain level. But, you know, when you're at this stage of the season, you're going with your best players, I would assume. Seattle won last night.
Yeah.
So the Orioles are 4.5 out of the wild card, but Seattle owns the tiebreaker. So it's basically 5. Magic number's 4. That's a combination of any Mariners, Orioles, wins, losses equaling 4. Means the Birds are done. So you try to get out of here with a win. Then you go to Yankee Stadium where, Aaron Judge probably going to pass Roger Maris because he went deep. And we'll get into that during the whip around. But let's get out to the phones. I don't want to get myself riding hot. Let's go to Tony and Rosedale. Tony, what's going on this Total Request Thursday where you pick the songs, everybody?
Oh, okay. I didn't even think about that Total Request. But anyway, I got an Orioles comment, and then I got a football question for both of you guys. First of all, the Orioles, at first, it was like 3 to 5 games I figured Roman and Hyde could have maybe cost us with his lineup. Now it's getting in the 5 to 10 game range that he's fooled around with this lineup where we might have had a better chance of winning games or whatever. It's in the 5 to 10 game range now. I mean, he's got his own reasoning with these analytics or whatever, but just far too many games where he's sent questionable lineups out there, and I don't think he should have done it.
Well, I'm assuming that there's some other factors involved nowadays, sure. Unless you're like a Buck Showalter type. You know, the general manager might have some influence, but at the end of the day, it is on the manager to decide who's going to be taking those cuts. Analytics be damned.
Yeah. I'll bet you if you looked at all the teams that are headed to the playoffs, Bob, you don't even hardly need to look at the lineup other than maybe one or two guys because you know why? It's pretty much the same all the time.
Yeah. I got a football question for you guys. Now, I'm in the neighborhood. I think you guys are a little bit older than me, but I caught the waning days of the 14-game schedule. Of course, I grew up with the 16-game schedule. Now we're 17. I want to know. I know times have changed with social media. I get it. I want to know, when did this silliness of proclaiming and nominating MVP candidates start after game two or three? Back in the day, no, really, back in the day, I remember it used to be like game 10, well, such and such is almost 1,000 yards, or this quarterback is doing good. Game 10, they would start that kind of talk. But I've noticed the last, I don't know, maybe four. I mean, where did this come from? And do you think it puts more pressure on the player that's being talked about? Or, I mean, it's nonsense to me.
I have a theory.
Game two or three.
Here's my theory. Sports talk radio wasn't as widespread as it is now. You had, like, in Baltimore when I was growing up, Charlie Ekman did it, Ted Patterson did it, and it was only for a couple of hours. You didn't have the internet where it was 24-hour sports news.
And we didn't have ESPN either.
ESPN wasn't around, so you didn't have all these yapping heads 24 hours a day, hot taking all over the place.
Yeah.
I'm assuming back in those days, if they had that forum, that sort of chatter would have been there. So that's my theory, not saying it's right or wrong.
I mean, come on, after game two or three. I mean, hypothetically speaking, suppose Matt Ryan gets hot and takes the Colts' beat playoff run. No one's even talking about him now. And this is game three, and he could do that. That's why I say that it's all silly for people to be coming out. And I see stuff on – not just talk radio. Like you said, it's on TV. Who's the MVP leading candidate already?
Well, how about the Heisman Trophy? Yeah. Last year, the dude from Oklahoma was supposed to win it, and he didn't even end up at Oklahoma.
Yeah, he wasn't even starting at the end of the year.
Just wanted your guys' take on that. You guys have a good weekend.
All right, Tony, thanks. I just think because sports now, with the various media platforms, is 24/7, and you have to fill content. And what's the best way to get people fired up? I mean, we're sitting here, it's Lamar versus Josh Allen on ESPN with Screamin' A. Smith and Dan Orlovsky.
Yep.
Who's going to have the big... And look at their... They both look like they're talking about, you know, the global warming or the Supreme Court. It's about who's going to have the bigger game between two guys who are highly paid to play a kid's game. And look at the looks on their faces. They're pissed off looking. And the game's still 72 hours away. I think a lot of it, Vinny, has to do with the fact that you have to fill time, and it's hot take. It gets reactions and people scream and yell about stuff.
Oh, and I'm sure, Bob, you know, prior to the show, one says, you know, I mean, just because we're Baltimore, I mean, they're national. So, all right, I'll take Allen. You take Lamar.
Sure.
You know,
and Lamar Jackson, who was just named as the AFC Player of the Month offensively, on ESPN, if memory serves, a lot of these dudes didn't even have him in their top 10 list of quarterbacks.
Amen to that.
Going into the season. We have time for another call. What do we got going on here? Oh, we got a break. We'll do calls on another time aside. That will get to Vinny's film study. We improvise and adapt. Can we do that? I mean, say it into the microphone, Nolan.
Yep, let's do it.
There we go. It's Vinny and Haney. If you're on the phone, hang tight. We're getting you on this Total Request Thursday.
The latest sports news and your place to talk about it. Always. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Total Request Thursday. You pick the songs. 410-583-1057. Jonah Schaefer tweeting it out. Baltimore Sun, who we'll talk to tomorrow. Looks like Michael Pierce going to get that surgery there, Vinny Serrato, which would end his season.
Probably ends his career, my guess. You know, because I was telling you earlier, Bob, that we had in San Fran, Ken Norton Jr. tore his bicep, and he played the whole year with it. You know, he had to have like a harness or whatever put on it, and it limited him a little bit, but he still played a whole year with it. And I guess Michael Pierce doesn't want to. He's going to have the surgery and end his season and probably end his career, would be my guess. And that hurts the Ravens because Michael Pierce was playing well, playing very well, rushing and against the run. So, you know, now Travis Jones in Washington, and then now Brett Urban becomes in that rotation. So that's a drop-off. That's a drop-off.
And getting him back and, you know, motivated to play. And as you said, he was playing well.
Yep.
And even during the brief period of time he played last week against New England, his presence was felt. So he's going to be done for the season, and we'll talk more about who needs to step up. And Vinny, you mentioned the candidates, because Travis Jones, we're all excited about his potential. His debut last week against the Patriots, it was, unless you watched the film like you did,
yep,
you didn't really notice he was on the field, you know.
The thing that I noticed about Travis last week, I mean, Bob, I sent you a bunch of clips, yep, you know, and now does it look, is it just me? Because it looks like he's always just a hair late off the snap. And he did that at UConn too. And I don't know, why he doesn't get, that explode. Like when we talked about, when they were getting off the ball against the Jets, I mean, they were all like, bam, but he's like, 1,001, go, and I think that was his first game. So he's got to get used to the speed of the game. I'm expecting, a better guy this week, but I mean, hell's bells. Buffalo may run it 5 times. They're not going to be defending the run a lot. This is a passing, they got to be ready for the pass down after down after down.
We'll be breaking down the Bills film study style coming up here in a couple of minutes. Damon Evans, athletic director, University of Maryland, joining us top of the hour. Terps hosting Michigan State Saturday afternoon at 3:30. Looks like it's going to rain throughout the region as the remnants of Hurricane Ian making their way up the East Coast. Spreads 8.5 in favor of the Turtles, creeping closer and closer to the start of basketball season. So we'll get into all of that and more. Orioles taking on the Red Sox 135 at Fenway, losing last night 3-1. Playoff hopes dim. They were kind of dim going into this series. Now they're not fully extinguished, but it's not looking good. Now the quest is to get to 82 games. Let's get out to the phones. Let's go to Ray in Baltimore. Ray, what's happening?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's going on? Yeah, you too.
Hey, man, listen, I got some points to make, and I'll take your feedbacks off the air. One of them, Anthony Santander, he's homegrown, so I would like to see Mike Elias get a deal done with him ASAP before it becomes too expensive. Now, let me really get to the meat and potatoes of why I called. I'm pretty sure I'm not the only person to have this take, but I think, Brandon, at the end of the day, everybody wants to point out to him being the manager of the year, but, the lion's share of the credit goes to Allie Rushman. This team didn't start turning around defensively, and from a, chemistry.
The starting pitchers didn't start to percolate till he became the catcher there.
Absolutely. So, the real Brandon Hyde always comes out, and Robinson Chirinos, he's a nice guy, fought hard to have his 10 years of Major League service. Nice guy, commendable. But that's his real managing style, man. At the end of the day, we've seen real managing in Baltimore from, Earl Weaver to Davey Johnson to Buck Showalter. We've seen real managers here in Baltimore. Buck Showalter on this team win at least 95 games. Period. Easy. At the end of the day, I get it. He may be a nice guy, but his lineups tonight, Bob and Vinny, I was done. I'm done with the horse hockey when it comes to all these lineup changes, Mullins being sat down, Rushman being sat down, and I get it, he's a catcher, but Henderson being sat down, he's a 21-year-old stallion. Come on, man. At the end of the day, he should be fired. But I'm going to end this call with this, Vinny. As far as the game on Sunday, Hurricane Ian is definitely moving up, so the weather might play a part. What goes into making this schedule when it comes to this? Because fans across the United States was hoping that this game be at least a 4:00 game. So what goes into that? And I got high hopes with Travis Jones. Jordan Davis, man, he's looking like he's turned into a beast in Philly so far. But what's your points on what I had to say? And I'll holler at you guys tomorrow.
All right, Ray, thanks for the call. 4:00, you would figure this game would be kind of more in the afternoon prime time window.
Yeah, I didn't get – because the Ravens got a ton of 1:00 games. I don't quite get it. There's only 3 4:00 games this week, and it's Arizona at Carolina.
Snooze fest.
New England at Green Bay.
Snooze fest.
And Denver at Vegas, which has to be because it's a West Coast game. But, yeah, I mean, you would think, I mean, what, let me see, the TV network, you know, it's on CBS. The 4 o'clock CBS game, Bob, is New England, Green Bay. So I'm guessing they, you know, when they picked it, you had your choice of the two.
Sure.
You know, and they took Green Bay.
I would have rather gone with the premier quarterback matchup. And in hindsight, I'm assuming that they would change that in a heartbeat if they could.
Boy,
can't start flexing yet.
Max Jones is out, you know, and that's
no, he's day to day.
Yeah, that's right.
Day,
with a high ankle sprain, who's on 4 to 6 weeks.
Day to day, says Bill Belichick.
Yeah. But, Bob, how about this? I mean, hindsight, 2020, you know, instead of Arizona, Carolina at 4, how about the Philly game at 4? Philly, Jacksonville at 4.
Well, there are plenty of games that would probably fit into that window better than what we have seen, but it is what it is. Now the Ravens try to navigate through the weather and through the Bills. Do I have time for one more call? Yes. Thank you, Nolan McGraw. Let's go to Arbutus. It is Chris. Chris, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How you
Not
doing?
Too much.
Hey, love the show. I was just calling to see. I happened to catch a little bit of the Manning cast on Monday. I don't know if you guys listened to that.
It was awesome. I love it.
I thought it was funny, Vinny, because I was listening to it, and I don't know if you heard the part where Cooper Rush came to the line. I guess they had, like, the Giants had overloaded the other side of the line, and Manning saw Cooper Rush, and he was like, oh, he just did the old check with me. And I thought it was funny because you were just talking about that last week with Lamar or whatever, because I guess they were, like, going to run to the ball to the one side and then did the check with me, and they ended up running it to the opposite side. You know, because it looked like it was more advantageous for them to do that. But I just didn't know. I thought it was funny because I had never heard that until you talked about it last week. But that's all I wanted to say. I was just going to say, go Ravens.
All right, there you go, Chris. Thank you.
That.
See, you never know what you're going to miss if you don't listen to Vinny and Haney
that's
here
right.
on 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. Film study of the Bills coming up. They're coming off a loss. But if you can look impressive in a loss, I guess they did. In a lot of areas, and they were decimated by injuries. Defensively, stay tuned for that. Damon Evans, Athletic Director, University of Maryland, coming up at 11 o'clock. Whip around 11:15, what's going on in the world of sports. We'll get into that. And then Clifton Brown, BaltimoreRavens.com. Preview the Ravens and Buffalo game, and the loss of Michael Pierce means what to that D-line right now.
Breaking down every last second of game tape for Sunday's matchup.
Now, who's your connection?
You sound like a cop to me.
Who's your connection?
Enter Vinny's Film Room on 105.7 The Fan.
Buffalo Bills come to Baltimore Sunday afternoon kickoff, 1 o'clock. Favorite coming up a loss. And they're coming into Baltimore's home stadium. 3-point favorites. 51 is the over-under with rain expected on Sunday afternoon. It's Vinny and Haney, Nolan McGraw, other side of the glass. Bills are good, though. Let's give them their credit. And let's
Very
do
good.
It even more so. Film study.
Yeah, statistically, they're the best team in the league because they're ranked number one in defense, number two on offense. What do you want first, Bob, defense or offense?
Whatever you got.
All right, let's look at the offense first. When I watched a film of the offense, I watched it yesterday and then I watched it again this morning. Now, their offensive line, I think, is pretty good. I think except for the right tackle. Spencer Brown, number 79, third-round pick. He's like 6'8". He's huge. Now, he got benched after, I think, the second quarter. He got benched into the second quarter. I mean, they were running around him, you know. And I thought he started out the game pretty good. And then once he screwed up one, then it was like, bam, bam, bam. And I'm like, whoa. And then all of a sudden, Quisenberry came in, a veteran, 32 years old, and he's worse. I mean,
okay.
That is their weak spot in pass protection, big time, the right tackle. So, you know, Owe or JPP, you know, they've got huge advantage there. You know, the other guys are all, you know, Roger Saffold, the left guard's a veteran guy. But, Bob, let me say this. They're good pass blockers. Efficient pass blockers for him. Run blockers, not so fast. You know, I mean, they don't sustain blocks. They don't knock anybody off the ball. They look like, kind of like they know that we don't run the ball much. I mean, if you look at the Miami game, rush attempts with the running backs, you know, Bob, they had 115 yards rushing on 23 attempts, all right? 47 of it was Josh Allen. Now, was Zach Moss? He had one rush. It was 43 yards. So if you take those two away, Bob, they rushed for 22 yards the rest of the time. 22 yards on, what, 18 carries? You know, so, I mean, they're not good. They're not a good running football. I think they run to keep you honest. They don't want to run the ball. You know, Singletary, he's good. You know, and he does a nice job in pass protection, which, I mean, you can't play a running back in Buffalo if you can't pass protect, because that's what you're doing most of the time. Singletary's outstanding out of the backfield, Bob. Outstanding. Outstanding with his yak yards. He's really good. Yak yards after the catch. Actually, Singletary's got 81 yak yards. Now, they throw it, Bob, to a bunch of dudes. You know, I mean, you got Singletary, who's the dump-off guy. They'll like to get it to him short. He had 9 catches on Sunday. He had 9. You know, McKenzie, he had 7. Diggs had 7. Cook had 4. Knox had 4. Davis had 3. I mean, they had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 different guys, Bob, caught balls. So, I mean, he'll throw it to anybody. I mean, he likes to throw it to Diggs, but he doesn't have a problem throwing it with anybody. The other problem about the run game is Knox is not a run blocker either. He's kind of like, you know, Gesicki was. You know, he's a pass catcher, you know, and that's what they like to use him for. But when you look at the receivers, Bob, this McKenzie kid, number 6 in the slot. I don't know how the Ravens are going to match up with him. That's my biggest concern, because he is fast, really fast. You know, he's kind of like Tyreek Hill fast. I mean, he gets across that field, you know, and they try to get him the ball, and he's got some run ability after. But, I mean, he had 9 targets in that game. He had 7 catches for 76 yards with a long of 27 and a touchdown. So I don't know, you know, because you say, okay, we'll put Humphrey on him. Humphrey can't run with him. You know, Humphrey's going to have to beat him up at the line of scrimmage and stuff, you know, to be able to affect him. But, you know, you're going to put Pepe Williams, who runs 4.54, on the guy? No, he'll run away from him. That's Mike McDonald's got an interesting challenge there, because that's a mismatch that they have.
And Gabe Davis is no slouch either. He missed the previous game because he was banged up. Remember, he had 3 touchdown receptions in that playoff game against Kansas City last year.
No, Bob, that's why I say, I mean, they've got talent. And one of the biggest things that I see is, I mean, they got a lot of guys that are good yak yards. One of the biggest keys for the Ravens this week defensively, they're going to have to tackle. They're going to have to tackle, because all these guys can make plays after the catch, starting with Diggs. And Bob, in their pass game, and we had Vic Carucci on yesterday, and he was kind of explaining, because I asked him, what's the difference between Daboll, you know, and the coordinator now? He said the biggest difference is Daboll wanted bombs away all the time. He wanted to throw deep. And
Dorsey,
Miami quarterback. Dorsey, he likes to throw short to intermediate, and which you can see on the film. They run a lot of crossing stuff, a lot of short stuff, and then they'll take their shots. You know, so that's why they're going to have to tackle well. And I'm guessing against Miami, with all the blitzes and stuff coming, probably figured they needed to get rid of the ball fairly quickly. But they're super talented at wide receiver. I mean, they're fun to watch, you know, offensively. You know, now the quarterback, he's a big, strong guy. He's got a gun. He's smart. He can run. He can bide time. You know, so, I mean, they're really good offensively. You know, I mean, he's their run game, kind of like what the Ravens, Lamar is. The Ravens' run game's a little bit better, because I think the Ravens' running backs and the Ravens want to run the ball a little bit more than Buffalo does. Buffalo, you know, they run it because they have to run it. But offensively, very good team. A lot of weapons. Biggest weakness they got is the right tackle position and the run blocking of the offensive line. But otherwise, pretty Pretty stout group. And you can't take away, you know, like you can't say, okay, we're going to take away Diggs. Okay, take away Diggs. We got all these other dudes, you know, that we can get it to, too. So there's a lot of guys. And, I mean, you got the number one pass offense going against a 32nd-ranked pass defense. And if you don't get pressure on Josh Allen and he's got all day to throw, you know, there's going to be somebody's going to be open. Otherwise, he's just going to dump it off. He'll dump it off. And if you blitz him, kind of like Miami, he can take off and run, you know, and they got some pressure on him a couple times, and they caused the fumble that they got, which was a big play for them. But I think you're living kind of dangerously that way.
Josh Allen has been sacked 7 times. We'll get to the Bills defensively later on in the show because they do have some players on that side of the ball.
Yes, they do.
That could make life miserable for the Ravens' offensive line. But when we come back here on this Total Request Thursday, where you pick the songs at 410-583-1057, plus for text line, Damon Evans, Athletic Director, University of Maryland. Exciting times down at College Park because you got Maryland 8.5-point favorites over Michigan State. Basketball's about to start practice, getting ready for their respective seasons and everything else going on within the athletic department and some new initiatives that could make money for the student athletes. We'll get into all of that and more. Whip around 11:15, Aaron Judge, Tide history, shall we say. And then Clifton Brown's joining us 11:30. We'll preview the Bills and the Ravens. Josh Allen got paid.
Yes, he
Lamar's still waiting to get paid. What's that money going to look like if, in fact, it gets settled? We'll talk to Clifton about that and more here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.